G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 21B.
Now, yesterday I have quickly shown the way up the levels as it has evolved in John Dorley's consciousness. I have shown how he started out with the days of creation, then with the seven synonymous terms, then with the world order, the Christ order, Christianity order, science order, which then somehow clicked something and brought him to the new idea that there is a level of absolute Christian science. So he rose to the level of absolute Christian science until that again had within itself the creative impact and impulsion that there is a higher level. And we went to the level of divine science, and from divine science to science itself. This is what we call the ascending way. We go out from the days of creation up to the highest level of science itself. It is the ascending way of understanding. So for the student, if he begins to be interested in the system of Christian science or the science of Christian science, he has to first to go the way of understanding. He has to learn his digits. He has to learn his fourfold operation. So step by step, actually, the development has led within about 40 years in John Dorley's life from the days of creation upward, all the way, always pointing upward, just as it is said in the days of creation, always going upward, all the way to the level of science itself. So that was a short indication of the upward ascending way of understanding. When we have gained some sense of that understanding, it's always a sum in some way that we gain it, then naturally we can say that if we have gained the highest concept of science itself, that then we can look out from that highest concept, so to say, down to the lower levels and see how that highest concept is demonstrating itself in our lives. So the descending way, which we call descending from science itself to divine science, absolute Christian science to Christian science, is the descending way of demonstration. It's no more understanding. Through the ascending way, we gain the understanding of that infinite principle. And now, if we have that understanding, and in the measure as we fill our consciousness with that understanding, we can now demonstrate that understanding by the descending way from science itself to divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, until in Christian science it touches the realm of the belief of error, of matter, of evil, and regenerate that concept or retranslate the false concept. That is the way of demonstration. Now, that way of demonstration is shown really at once, so to say, always taking at once in the three categories of being, the levels, the fourfold operation, and the value of reality, the synonymous terms. So this is the way of demonstration. And I would like to go through that way of demonstration with you in just the way as it flows now into my consciousness. What would flow into my consciousness, I speak out loud, so that it gives, so to say, to us a general treatment. And I think you do good if you don't make too many notes or you lose the atmosphere of that whole sense. I don't dictate to you that you should not make notes. Everybody has more or less difficulty in making notes. But if I would do the same thing tomorrow, it would anyway sound different. The main thing is that we catch the atmosphere of the categories. That's the main thing. Because demonstration is infinite, and so it isn't something that one can write down and then say, now I have it. Now for the rest of my life, I just read what Max has said in Casanova on Friday morning. But let's see how this whole chart is one big treatment. I give it now first as a system, namely by going step by step through the chart as we look at it. Later on, I hope I have time to show you that I can go that chart not as a system, but as a structure. And later on, as a cybernetic law, and later on, as the flow chart. Okay, let's do how much we can do with the little time that is left. So I start with that highest level of science itself. And so perhaps if we are inwardly devoting ourselves to what is presented, that we worship the value that you hear, that you see the bigness of it, the greatness of it, then I think we give to the world a jolly good treatment. And that's perhaps also a part of a class teaching. If I go out from the level of science itself, then I go out from the infinite principle, where I see that principle is principle to itself. That principle cannot be anything else to itself but what it is itself. That the I am cannot be anything to itself but the I amness of that I am. If I put that out of the religious connotation into the connotation of our language, then I begin to see that from eternity to eternity, nothing is ever going on, but that principle is its own infinite principle. Principle stands for all the seven synonymous terms. So in my consciousness, I begin to realize that there is nothing ever going on, but that the divine principle is conscious of itself as being the one and only and infinite principle. That that principle is to itself mind. And I begin to see something very great, because Mrs. Eddy introduced, compared with the Bible, two new terms for God, principle and mind, showing that today I can see that the whole world is governed just by one principle, that that principle says to itself, I not even know a world, I only know myself. World is already a human connotation, a human conception. Being is itself the divine mind. And so I see that that principle is mind to itself, so that that principle is conscious of itself because it's of the nature of mind. That that principle has its infinite self-intelligence and self-information because it is mind to itself. And I can see that that principle is its own infinite spirit, that that principle only knows itself as a spiritual fact, as a spiritual realm. Matter is unknown. That doesn't even enter my consciousness. I have just one new realm, principle that is to itself really the only substance, namely spiritual substance. It's a spiritual principle. And I begin to see that principle is to itself soul, that that principle never changes. It's absolutely unchangeable. It's its own identity, never loses that identity, therefore can never be anything but that principle. Principle cannot lose its principle likeness. It remains what it is, and therefore from everlasting to everlasting, the same principle is operating infinitely. Or I begin to realize that that principle is to itself its operative principle, its self-organizing principle, its self-dynamic principle. It is a principle that says, I'm a living principle because I'm life. So principle is to itself life. It says the only life there is actually the principle of being that is from eternity to eternity operating as principle. That's the only life there is. There is no human life, no organic life, no material life, nothing like that. Principle only knows itself as ever newness of operational life. And so I get a terrific sense that life is principle in operation. But that principle is the truth to itself, is its own infinite truth. It does not need to establish the truth. It does not need to know the truth. It is itself truth. It is itself conscious of itself as being the truth about everything, with the truth of the operational sense of principle. Therefore, error does not enter into that whole proposition. It is bringing out its own affirmation. Principle claims its own nature. That's the truth about it. And then I see that that principle is its own infinite love, that therefore that principle is its own infinite plan. It cannot do anything but bring out a principled plan, a principled idea, principled purpose by itself. So I begin to realize this is the only being there is. In this way, I have established in my consciousness the level of science itself. That's only one way I can do it. The same, you can enlarge that, and I could use that same law. That principle is the law to itself. I could also see that mind is its own infinite mind, that mind is its own infinite soul, spirit, that mind is its own infinite soul, and so on. And I can establish in consciousness the 7x7 only by using always the 7 synonymous term as being itself. I have that consciousness of that level thought, of that law, that always every synonymous term is all the other synonymous term to itself. So that no synonymous term stands alone. It's synonymous, it's therefore blends. There where you have mind, there you have all the other synonymous terms. There where you have spirit, you have all the other synonymous terms. And so in a 7x7 way, we could build up that law of science itself. That's the highest sense, so that we, at that point we are considering just the one being, capital B, being as it is. The I am that I am. If I contemplate that law and there is something within me that says, yes, that's God himself. And something in me says, isn't there also a universe of God? Which says, somehow, haven't I heard traditionally that God is a creator that has brought forth a creation, which is a human concept? God never brought forth a creation. He, creator and creation is one. But because the human sense is misled over some thousand years and has an inbuilt false attitude to that level of science itself, it asks after a creation. and says, what is God's creation? As if God would have to have a creation. God for himself doesn't need to have a creation. He is principle to itself. That's what you have seen on the level of science itself. But in me, I have to answer something which constantly comes up and says, but I live in a universe, I live in a creation. There's all right that there is a creator, but there is also a creation, and there is a realm, that there is a universe. What about that universe? And as I have a false sense of the universe, divine science must correct that. And so thought comes to the next level of divine science, where we have seen divine science answers all those questions which ask about the universe and its relationship to God. Is there one universe? Is there a material universe? Is there a divine universe? What is that universe? And so my accent changes or shifts a little bit from God to the universe. And if that happens, then my thought is engaged on the level of divine science. And I have to see that that one principle embraces all its aspects, all its ideas of principle. Though I see on that level, that principle and idea is one, still I have idea introduced. I have the universe introduced. I have introduced a universe of ideas. And so the very first thing I see on that level is that that universe of idea is actually the universe of the one principle. It's not something that is separate from the principle, but it's just showing that one principle in its multifarious aspect of that principle, manifested in infinite ideas. So my thought comes to that question, what is that universe? The question that arises when I'm thinking about that universe are some fundamental questions, namely, what is the nature of that universe, the word? Is that nature of the universe a true nature, the Christ? Is that nature of the universe all-inclusive, a oneness, Christianity? Is that nature of that universe a purposeful, meaningful universe? That's a foresight science. And so these four big questions are always in the forefront and are fundamental. If we can answer these four questions, actually consciousness should be at peace and say, oh, now I got it. So at that point, we can see that that one infinite principle on the level of science itself translates itself to the level of divine science by showing the divine nature of that infinite principle. That divine nature, which is shown here as a nature that operates as the word. We must have an operational sense the moment we touch a universe, or the universe is not an operative universe, it's a dead universe. So that at that point you have on the chart introduced the word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. And each one can be symbolized really through the accentuation of a synonymous term, which as the word says, yes, there is just one universe, just one universe that exists. It's life. There is only one life, and therefore that universe is a universe of that one life. There are not many lives in that universe. There is just one life that is the life of the whole universe. Principle and idea is one, therefore life and of God and the life of the universe is the same life, just one life. So I come to that sense that here life is accentuated through the oneness of an eternal existence. I come to the Christ which says, but that one existence must be truth. It must affirm itself constantly so that it is constantly aware of itself. And so we come to the Christ sense, which says that universe is aware of itself. It has a consciousness of its own awareness, which is truth, the true idea, the divine idea, so that that universe is knowable, or that we can be conscious of it. And so we have the Christ consciousness as the one truth. There is no other consciousness but the Christ truth consciousness. No other consciousness can know the true universe. No erroneous consciousness, no human consciousness, no psychic consciousness can know that true universe. Only that consciousness, which is of the nature of the Christ truth, can actually know the true universe. So it frees ourselves very much from trying to know the universe through any other means but the Christ truth. And I begin to see something about Christianity, namely that that universe, which is the one existing universe, which is aware of itself as truth, is embracing the whole universe. It's embracing and fulfilling the whole universe. Fulfilling is not a good term. It is the filled universe. So that I see that there is just one universe in which everything is contained, is embraced in, and that's the universe of love, because love is that symbol for reality, which at this point says there is only one love, namely that there is only one love that is never without its object or manifestation, that is never without its creation, that is never separated from its creation. And therefore I get a terrific feeling that a perfect universe, the really complete universe, exists as in the tone of love, as never losing sight of loveliness. So I get the sense, all right, that's fine. At the point of the word, that universe is the universe of the one life. That universe is actually conscious of itself. It doesn't dream nor slumber. It's conscious of itself as the one and only truth, capital T, not as a human knowledge. That universe, as Christianity, is a complete universe, is an all-embracing universe, which embraces everything. And still I have another question that says, all that sounds very nice and very well, but has it any purpose in it? Does it make any sense? And so I need an explanation for it, science sense, the fourth side, which is the divine principle love, which says, and this universe must make sense. What kind of sense must it make? It must make sense that the divine principle that is ever operative as itself, that has for the universe an infinite plan of optimizing, an infinite plan of maximizing really that universe. So that that infinite principle has meaning, gives meaning, gives evolution to the universe, shows that there is an evolving universe, that it is not a stagnant universe, but it is a universe that is directed always to a higher and ever higher and ever higher goal. And that gives sense, meaning, purpose to that universe. That's principle love. And so in this way, I fill my consciousness first through those seven synonymous terms, as one life, one truth, one love, one divine principle love, I fill my consciousness to the point where I have not only a perfect God, like on the level of science itself, but also a perfect universe, though the perfect universe is not separated from the perfect God, but only brings out the perfect God in its multivarious manifestations. And I sit back and contemplate that universe, and I think within myself, all right, everything is at peace. Everything is at the point of harmony. There is no need, really, to demonstrate harmony. The divine principle of itself is always at the point of perfect peace and harmony, and I don't have to demonstrate anything. I don't have to correct anything. I don't have to attain anything. Everything is included in the one principle that has a universe of oneness.